gear now to the Democratic Republic of the Congo's Constitutional Court, where it has begun hearing an appeal against the presidential election results lodged by opposition candidate Martin Fayulu. Lawyers representing Fayulu and the declared winner, Felix Tshisekedi, were in court today. Elections Commission's representatives also attended. The court must rule on the appeal by Saturday. Fayulu filed a court challenge demanding a recount, claiming that he won the presidential race with 61% of the votes, according to the results compiled by the influential Catholic Church's 40,000 election observers. Fayulu insists that the results were falsified to declare Tshisekedi the winner, although he came in a distant second place according to the Catholic Church's results. The DRC's Electoral Commission has said Tshisekedi won 38% of the vote and Fayulu 34%. Regional bodies have suggested a vote recount. While Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Lindiwe Sisulu, has issued a statement in an effort to set the record straight on South Africa's position on the DRC. The department has commended the Congolese people and the government of the DRC for their commitment to ensuring a peaceful, independent and credible electorate process despite serious challenges. It has also called on all the parties to preserve the peaceful climate of the elections when dealing with these disputes. For more on the department's position, I'm now joined by its spokesperson, Mr. Ndivhu Mabaya. Mr. Mabaya, good evening to the program. Thank you so much for your time. In essence, is the South African government suggesting that the parties need to settle for a government of national unity, given that the results are so tight, or are you supporting a recount of the vote?
No, no. Good evening and good evening to your listeners. We are not supporting any of the two things. We believe that the decision on the form of government must lie with the political parties and also the people of the DRC. Mm. Also, the decision around the recount, according to the electoral laws of the DRC, those decisions lie with the Constitutional Court. So the two issues you are raising, one of them lie with the Constitutional Court, and we are calling on everybody to give the space to the Constitutional Court to go through the process and decide what must happen. The issue of the government of national unity, the minister passed on it when she was referring to the situation in South Africa. We are not recommending it to anyone. We believe that the form and nature of how the leadership and the state of the DRC must be decided by the political players in the DRC.
Yes, now, of course, it's correct to let the people of the country make their own decisions, but the DRC hasn't been a very stable place. We've also seen periods where election rigging has happened and people have been disadvantaged. How do you propose that the parties remain calm, doesn't resort to violence, and what kind of time frame are you suggesting that they approach the courts and the relevant authorities to make the decision, whatever that decision is, whether it's a recount or coming together in a national dialogue? But obviously time is of the essence here.
I think all of us must agree that considering the vast land that is the DRC, the challenges that befell FENI just before the voting, including the banning of their warehouse, and a number of other challenges, including the introduction of the new technology, which many people across the world said it will never work, and has worked very well. FENI has done very well. And also the people of the DRC have responded well to the call across from SADC, from the AU, from South Africa to say, take this as an opportunity for a new dawn. Pre-election, very limited violence. In between the election now, no one is on the street. We strongly believe that left to themselves, the people of the DRC, the institutions of the DRC, will determine the outcome of the election and whatever form is determined without the interference of any person will be best for the people of the DRC. So we're not giving deadlines for them. We know about, we were there in the DRC. Personally, I was there in 2011. I know what has happened. But these elections are different. The people of the DRC, we believe, are tired of the pain that they're suffering. They want to start to enjoy the fruits that they were given by our mighty God in their country. This is the richest country, most probably, on earth. And they are unable to enjoy this because of all the violence. And their behavior this time have shown us that they want to move on. And let's give them space to have this new God.
The problem is, of course, that they can't move on if they don't agree on what the process is. There's a push for a recount. Some people don't want a recount. Let me bring in the foreign editor at Independent Media, Shannon Ibrahim. Shannon, good evening. Welcome to the program. Do you share Mr. Mabaya's view that everybody must stay out and the people, the Congolese, must actually sort out their own problems? Do they have the capacity to do so? And are the institutions specifically designed to actually get to those impartial decisions, or are they tied to the particular elites that are actually running the country right now?
Well, I think there are those, hi Karima and your listeners, there are those in the opposition who are concerned about the impartiality of the Constitutional Court. There are 9 judges. The fear is, are they too close to Kabila? But we'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt that they will come to a fair and just decision. They said today that they would make a decision within 8 days. But anyway, I think what we've seen, which is very positive, is that outsiders, particularly in the region, are not just sitting by and crossing their hands. We have the SADC having called an emergency meeting for this Thursday in Addis Ababa to discuss this very election controversy. And I think that's very positive that the leaders of the SADC countries are being quite proactive in terms of wanting to make sure that there's not an eruption of violence and that people in the Congo can feel that their election was legitimate, it wasn't stolen, and find a way forward, and also wait, obviously, and see what the Constitutional Court has to say.
In the run-up to the election, Shannon, there were very many complaints that some areas had absolutely no electoral materials, that some areas were very difficult to navigate, and that they were deliberately disadvantaged. To what extent is there legitimacy to those complaints? How would you compare this election with previous elections? Do you think that they were reasonably, considering all the challenges that they face, reasonably free and fair? And if so, why are parties demanding a recount? I mean, you look at the numbers, they are quite tight. It's a very narrow victory for Tshisekedi.
Well, there are 3 main things I'd like to point out. If we look at these elections in context, we have to remember that this is the largest country in Africa, the size of Western Europe. It was a huge challenge for them to do this election on their own. There were 600 candidates, 12,000 parliamentary elected people on the list. So that is a very big challenge. And when you look at, there's only a small percentage of the Congo that actually has electricity. That was another huge challenge. So people would have always felt that the process was not going to be necessarily fair, and they would have always probably said that there was going to be interference in the electoral campaigns. I think what was disappointing is that out of the people that registered to vote in the elections, only 53% of those registered, 53% did not vote, and 47% did vote, and that's of the people who were registered. Mm. That means a lot of those who were registered, many of them say that Seni didn't open the voting stations. It may have also been that people were apathetic. But the fact that so many people didn't get to vote is problematic. We know that some of the voting stations didn't open because of the threats of Ebola, and that was a decision taken. The reason that people are saying that there should be a recount is the numbers, according to the opposition anyway, don't seem to really add up. So if you look, for example, at the parliamentary results, the opposition got less than 30%. But if you look at the presidential outcome, and if you join Fayulu's numbers with Felix Tshisekedi's numbers, it comes to 70%. So how is it possible that the ruling party got the vast majority in parliament, but the opposition got altogether 70% in the presidential elections? It doesn't seem to make sense. And what the opposition are pointing to is that parliament appoints the prime minister, who then runs the government. And I think the concern is, if things were not reported accurately, then that really is a problem, because then it means the parliament gets to have a lot of power. And I think that also the Catholic Church, as we know, had 40,000 observers. They want the data published from the counting and the polling stations. They said that Fayulu had won 62%. He says 61%. That's a very vast difference from what the CENI had counted as 34%. So when you look at those numbers, it's a big problem. If you look at it in actual votes, that would mean that Fayulu got 6 million, according to CENI. The church says he got 9 million. And for Tshisekedi, CENI says that he got 7 million, and the church said he got 3 million. So you can see the inverse of those numbers. And given it's such a huge difference, I think that is why President Edgar Lungu, who is the chair of the SADC organ on politics and defense, he said he thought it was a good idea for there to be a recount. He said a government of national unity was one of the options, not that they should necessarily do that. And I think when they have the SADC meeting on Thursday, they'll take all these issues further and they'll look at the different options. And I think they also, the church is stepping it up one, in that they're calling on the UN Security Council to ask the Election Commission to publish the data. And so obviously they're not prepared to step down on this issue. They feel quite adamant that the results are not reflective of the reality. So anyway, I think the positive message here is that Southern Africa is paying attention and that they are going to do everything that they can to make sure that there's a positive outcome and that all the gains of these peaceful elections will be maintained.
All right, Shannon, just before I go to Ndibuo Mabaya, I just want to inform our listeners of the breaking news. The Brexit deal has been rejected. 202 MPs voted in favor, 432 voted against. We will, of course, try and chip in there to the television coverage as we come to the end. But just to announce breaking news, the Brexit deal is rejected. 202 voted in favor and 432 voted against, defeated. The motion was defeated by 230 votes. So that was, of course, important. And that's according to the BBC World Service. Now, Mabaya, the point that Shannon is making about the discrepancies between the numbers found by the church and by the official structures is, of course, something that ought to worry South Africa. You were saying that you're not going to get involved, you're not going to tell them what to do, but there seems to be a legitimacy to a call for a recount.
This issue of the numbers is the issue that is before the court. You see, we can't say to the political parties in the DRC that they must all follow the electoral process and then also prejudge that electoral process. That is why we are saying that candidate Fayulu has taken this matter to court, to the Constitutional Court. And this Constitutional Court has taken decisions before that are not in favor of the current president Joseph Kabila. So we are saying that allow the Constitutional Court of the DRC without the interference. You see, if you say to the political parties in the DRC, you need a recount, whereas this matter is in the Constitutional Court, what are you asking for? That we must stop the Constitutional Court and start a recount. No, we are saying allow. We were the first one to congratulate candidate Fayulu for taking the matter to the Constitutional Court, because we want to also contribute in strengthening democratic institutions in the DRC. The Catholic Church observers, we have been saying to them as well that let's allow the court process to unfold. SADC is monitoring this very seriously. We have got almost every country has got an observer there. We as South Africa have got a team of observers who are part of SADC. They're briefing the minister all the time. The minister is briefing the president. And we are seeing the political parties, the government of the DRC, MINUSCO, and also SANU, are proceeding with the election. Let's give them space. Let's give SADC space. But let us not interfere.
Shannon, this view of the government to give the authority space to let them sort out their own problems presumes that everything is equal in that country, and of course it isn't. Is that a good strategy on our part?
I think at the current juncture at which we are at the moment, I think it is a wise decision. There is a process, and we'd like them to follow that process in terms of going to the Constitutional Court, and we need to give them at least another week to see what the court comes up with. Why it's a good idea to meet as SADC and discuss this is if the court makes a decision that many, many people and many in the opposition don't accept, and they say it wasn't an objective decision, and violence starts to break out, there needs to be a discussion now to preempt that type of thing and maybe have more of a national dialogue. So I think it's good to look at all the options if things don't go the way that we'd like them to go. But every country has a right to follow its own processes. So it's clear that South Africa doesn't want to be seen as preempting any of the developments in the Congo, and I do think that's the right decision. And I think SADC will most likely try to do the right thing. It's a very delicate situation, and I think the country is on tenterhooks right now. As we speak, the internet is still shut down, and I think this is making it quite difficult for people. And we have a burgeoning youth population in the DRC that is more and more reliant on their mobile phones, and I think we need to have a normalized situation there as fast as possible. And from what I gather, our government, and particularly our minister and Durko, have been working throughout the holidays, ever since the poll took place on the 30th of December, to try and make sure that there is a peaceful and political solution to what happens in the Congo. And I think we must really give them credit for all of that effort.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mabaya, is President Cyril Ramaphosa intending to go to the DRC?
Yes, we are part of the double troika. We are not going to the DRC. The SADC meeting is going to be in Ethiopia.
Yes.
Which is on Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning. From our initial planning, we should be heading to Ethiopia. If the president is not there, I'm sure an appropriate replacement will be there. But the president will clear that one up. But I think I must make a point, and I've been saying this to a number of South Africans, that we will be up in arms if one morning we wake up and we have got an election and the parties that are winning are separated by 5 points. And another country calls a press conference and say, because you are separated by 5 points, please make a government of national unity. We will say, don't interfere. And this is what we are saying in the DRC. Give the electoral process space so that the sovereignty of the country is guaranteed. Mm. And the people can be able to choose their own form of leadership, their own form of government, and strengthen their own institutions. And we think that DRC this year has done wonders. They situation pre-election, during the election, and after the election. And we have been working with them for about 6 months to just make sure that they've got enough support. As you know, we have got one of the biggest battalions of soldiers there who are part of the United Nations peacekeeping force. At the UN Security Council, our Ambassador Makila, has been working 24 hours to make sure that all the systems are in place to allow the DRC to have a new dawn led by themselves so that they can then be proud of themselves and take their country to a new generation. It is time for the DRC to stop being, everything else that everybody wants to interfere with what they want to do, for them to determine their own course and to live their own life and dream for their children, enjoy the wealth of their country.
Okay, just a final question, Mr. Mabaya, whilst I have you here. The situation in Zimbabwe is quite dire. We've seen people have taken to the streets because of the petrol hikes. There's been running battles. And, of course, Emmerson Mnangagwa is in Russia. Many people feel that he might not even be able to land. There's a sense of outrage in the community. and in the country, because there's of course no foreign currency and there are no goods in the country, and people are not able to afford the 15% petrol hike. South Africa is impacted enormously by what happens in Zimbabwe. We have open borders in many cases. Are we considering helping them out of the cash crisis?
As of this afternoon, our diplomats in Zimbabwe have been briefing us, and there is communication between the South African government and the Harare government. We believe strongly that there is capacity in Harare to find solutions to the current challenge. We believe that some of the measures that the government of Zimbabwe is putting in place as we speak will be able to resolve these challenges. But we stand ready at any moment to assist the government of Zimbabwe with anything that they want to be assisted with. So finally, I can say that there is communication between the two countries. Let's give it time and see how we can assist. But the crisis that they have now needs a number of systemic things to be done. And we believe that their plan to rectify some of these systemic things will be able to address this in the short term and in the long term. And Karima, I must say, the president will come there, he'll be able to land, and there will be solutions to this problem.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Mr. Ndivhuwa Mabaya. He's the spokesperson for the International Relations of and Cooperations Department. And also we were joined by foreign editor at Independent Media, Shannon Ibrahim.